Hi, this is Steve from Survive to Thrive Radio Network. We hope you're finding the information on the Survive to Thrive radio program both beneficial and informative. Fridays will bring you replays of my most popular shows with occasional live appearances. We have our lineup for the rest of the week of talk show hosts together to give you the best information and points of view available on the radio. They're certainly the most pertinent and timely. Monday's Darren is on with his show Radical Health. Steve St. Clair and Darren are on Wednesday with Health Freedom. Russ Dizdar is on Tuesdays with Shatter the Darkness, and Hawks Talon is on Thursdays, and me on Fridays. So stay tuned to SurviveToThriveNetwork.com, or you can go to SteveQuayle.com. Click on the radio Listen Live at the top of the page of SteveQuayle.com to bring you to all the news sites, and especially to be able to click on the important radio information. Now, ladies and gentlemen, remember, in these trying times, it's incredibly important to stay healthy. Keep yourself well-nourished with organic fruits and vegetables, and remember to take Enerfood every day without fail. Drinking a healthy smoothie with Enerfood and coconut milk powder from EnerHealth Botanical provides you with easily absorbable nutrition from superfoods that are densely packed with essential nutrients, all of which support optimal health. The guys at EnerHealth continue to offer special pricing to our listeners. They also offer the Survival Pack and Herbal Emergency Packs, as well as their tasty immune-supporting coffee, Nutra Cafe, and their hot cocoa blend, Coco Mojo, which is one of my wife's favorites, both infused with immune-strengthening medicinal mushrooms. Now, they're wonderfully flavorful and very, very healthy. Check out all their specials at SurviveToThrive.net or click on the EnerHealth banner at SteveQuayle.com. In fact, listen, these guys have one of the best deals I've ever seen. They have their immune pack, which is one Enerfood, one coconut milk powder, and their daily immune support, which is on sale for $99.99. You save $32. Their Nutra Cafe is also on special this week, and it costs only $10.99. In addition, they are still offering 15% off on cases, and 10% you get just by being one of our listeners. That's a 25% discount, ladies and gentlemen. Never forget, your body is your most important possession, and its optimal health stays very dependent upon being well hydrated with pure water. Now, the guys at Enerfood are selling the Big Berkey water filters, and you can call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238 to order any of their health specials or the Big Berkey water filter. What will you aid in achieving the best health possible is to stay informed. And never forget, everyone, that your body's the temple. Give it pure foods and beverages as God nature intended, and see your body, mind, and spirit once again enjoying the joyful state of health that is a blessing.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Liao. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, November 2nd, 2010, the year of our Lord. And today in America, here in the good old USSA, is Election Day. The day when the peaceful natives and the citizens of the land have an opportunity to show up at a voting booth and make their voices heard with their choice. Today is voting day, that historical moment on a calendar where the citizens get rid of the wrong things, the wrong people, and those greedy self-serving politicians. Because, you know, folks, Election Day is that day to give them shady political bandits the boot. And it's the opportunity to kick them out and replace them with a new freshman politician that hopefully will get the job done. And we all know that those new politicians are going to fix this mess. Right, folks? Well, I have a question. How come I don't feel any better? Because by tonight, we're going to know who the new politicians are going to be. And the polls have shown that many citizens are going to vote the Republicans back into Congress. And up until this point, for the last 2 years, the Democrats have been at the helm. And we can see the results. The economy is still in a depression. So if the Republicans take the House, things are going to change, right, folks? Well, what do you think, my friend? Do you think that if the Republicans take over the House, the depression's going to be fixed? How many of you are confident in this? Now, I know that most people feel the need to try. Everyone's going through the motions. Most loyal Americans have been participating in campaigning, going to rallies, wearing pins and hats, having bumper stickers on their cars, knocking on doors, printing signs, answering phone calls, making phone calls. Many Americans have participated in this. And after today, the campaign for this election will be over, and the votes will be counted. And after the results are in, we are going to see candidates who are going to concede and be sad. And we're also going to see people who will celebrate that they won. And after all of those things, after the news marathons, after all of the talking heads give their expert opinions on the new candidates, again, I have to ask, is this mess going to be solved? Will the depression be over? Well, that depends on one thing. In order for the depression to be over, the jobs have to return. So, are the jobs going to return? Will the factories retool with all of the machinery that they sold off and shipped off to Asia? Will millions of unemployed people suddenly find work? And will millions of foreclosed houses get paid off suddenly? And will millions of people who are underwater suddenly find that their houses have regained their value? Will the dollar once again regain trust in the world? Will the national debt go away? Will it vanish into thin air? And will millions of people who are receiving entitlements suddenly say,
"Hey, Uncle Sam, you know what? You're broke, so keep the check you were going to send me."
What do you think, folks? Are people going to do that? Will there be prayer meetings that actually get traction? Will pastors say, "Hey, folks, let's call out to God and ask Him to fix this mess that we're in right now"? Well, instead of answering each question one by one, let me just answer every one of the questions I just asked all at once. And that answer is no. The election is a very good, noble execution of the citizenry. However, even though at times I have dementia, folks, I still have not forgotten that just 2 years ago, the Republicans were in control. And for most of the past decade, they had a great party. And we can look back and see that it was a great, lavish party of excess. And what paid for this? This party of excess, of luxury? Debt paid for it. Loans paid for it. The endless supply of money made by greedy banks and people who could not afford it paid for it. It was a giant charade carried out by grown-ups who forgot about financial responsibility.
"Mr. Buck, just sign here. Your $300,000 house loan will be no money down, and the payment will start at an affordable $500 a month."
"Hot dog, that's great, Mr. Banker. But when will the payment go up?"
"Well, don't worry, Mr. Buck, because in a few years, just refinance your house and get a new loan."
"All right, Mr. Banker. Okay. I'll sign it. I'm so excited. Look at this, dear. Our own house. We're homeowners."
And you know, folks, that story played out millions of times, and it bought trillions of dollars of real estate that most of them could not afford. And today, many of those quote-unquote homeowners are now living wherever they can. And some are actually squatting in a house that they no longer own. Some are living with families. Some are living in a tent city, and some of them are living in their cars. So again, I ask the question, now that we have had an election, is the crisis solved? Well, let me say this. It might be possible that the crisis is solved if, and that's a giant if, my friends, if evolution was true and there was no such thing as God. Because that would mean that since there is no God, then that would mean that there is also no judgment. And there would be no land full of sinful people with sinful ways. And of course, my friends, we know that evolution is a lie. God is real. God does exist. But unfortunately, many people today are witnessing the present story, and while they say they believe in God, they sure don't act like it. Because not many of them seem to be seeking a spiritual answer and a remedy. And many people seem to believe that this epic, gargantuan, historical crisis depression is going to be solved by placing a ballot in a box.
"Hey, Nathan, don't be spitting on my right to vote."
My friend, I am not spitting on your right to vote. I am just bringing a real perspective to the table. the perspective that most people just want to ignore. But here's an announcement from the wall. The general population has had their turn. And their lifestyle philosophies got us into this mess. And unfortunately, their philosophy is not going to get us out of this mess. In the book of Psalms, chapter 9, verse 17, it says, "The wicked will be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." The nations that forget. What does that mean? That means that at one time, these nations remembered God. It means that at one time, they acknowledged God. They knew that God was real. And they showed Him fear and respect. And they lived their lives around that belief. But at some point, it also means that they forgot. It's not talking about pagan nations that never acknowledged God. It's talking about nations that started out with a godly heritage, but then they forgot their way. And when we examine nations that started out with a heritage of God, and then they forget about God, it is very easy to see the pattern that plays out over and over in humanity. And that is this. When they forget their God, many changes begin to occur over their land. First, it happens in their hearts, and then it translates into their actions, their policies, their appearance. And then it translates into their products, the things that they export. It shows up in their economy and the things that people purchase. And it shows up in their philosophy, in their lifestyle. And then it shows throughout the entire land because the light of God gets snuffed out over their land. And then others begin to notice it. Other nations. Now, I just recently put out a new sermon on my website, watchmanscry.com, and I want to invite every one of you to listen to it. It's message number 158, and I want to invite you to listen to it. Why? Because, my friends, what we see happening over this country is not bad luck. It's not coincidence. It's not a cycle. And every one of us are going to participate in this thing, and we are going to see more and more people fall by the wayside. We're going to see more and more people become victims of the judgment. Victims in very dramatic ways. And every one of you needs to increase your odds. Your odds for how you weather this thing and how you endure this thing and how you get to the other side of this thing. And your odds are going to be determined by your actions. Folks, please make no mistake. If you do not actively try to improve your odds using the laws that have already been established in Scripture, then you will not fare very well. And in the message that I just preached, message 158, I went into detail about how an individual that loves God can actually increase their odds, the odds for their family and for themselves. So that's why I'm talking right now, to offer you a different perspective. Now, you can get an earthly perspective all day long. It's easy. All you have to do is turn on the TV, go to the internet, read the newspaper. You're going to get an earthly perspective on how to fix this mess, on whose fault it is. And it's very easy to see that the perspective you're going to receive is mainly a left-right chatter, screaming about the other side of the aisle. You'll have some voices complaining about the Democrats, and you'll have other voices complaining about the Republicans. And it's back and forth. It's always somebody else's fault. I remember hearing Rush Limbaugh back in 1990 say how terrible Bill Clinton was. And I remember him saying that conservatism is the answer. Republicans can get the job done. The Republicans can be responsible with financial policies. They are not tax and spin like the Democrats. Because the Democrats have symbolism over substance. Do you folks remember him talking about that way back then? Conservatism is the only way. And while people were cheering Mr. Rush Limbaugh on, they unfortunately forgot that before Bill Clinton was in office, Daddy Bush raised taxes. They forgot about that because when it happened, they looked the other way. So then Mr. Bill Clinton shows up, takes over the White House, and embarrasses his role as a president with Monica Lewinsky. And during Bill Clinton, we did see an embarrassment to the presidency. And during Clinton, we had the Oklahoma City bombing event, which the official story was a lie. And then we saw Waco when Janet Reno the robot initiated a butchering of innocent people. And then we witnessed the terrorist act get passed. And we witnessed that missile secrets were given to China.
And we had many people enter eternity for knowing too much about Mr. Clinton or saying too much.
And for 8 years, Rush Limbaugh was talking about how the Republicans could solve the problems and fix the mess. And then Mr. Limbaugh's dream came true. Bush Jr. became the president. Bush Jr., an ex-cheerleader in college and the owner of a baseball team, a member of a secret society, Skull and Bones. He took the helm of the nation. And what happened? Christians went to sleep. And then they also went on a spending spree during his presidency. They hawked their houses. And they went on cruises, on vacations. And they bought fancy cars. And then, also, many middle-aged men joined health clubs, lost weight. And then they found pretty little mistresses to have affairs with. And, oh yeah, they dumped their wives and they acted like teenagers. Oh, and the wives did the same thing. They also played and had affairs with their co-workers, with their bosses, with their doctors, and with their psychiatrists. And many of these people that I'm describing attended evangelical churches. And it was a time of great Christian prosperity. And then they bought stuff with credit cards and home equity loans. And during all of this mess, Bush was hard at work passing many, many Nazi tyrannical laws to make us all suspects and slaves. The war started, and America changed from the respected liberators of World War II, who set the prisoners at internment camps free, and then America became the torturers of the new century. And while this was going on, did Mr. Rush Limbaugh complain? No. Did Christians get alarmed and upset about it? No. Why? Well, it's because of this, folks. Bush was a Christian, and books were published which testified of this fact, quote unquote. And since Bush was a Christian in their eyes, many of those evangelicals slept. They lost their vigilance, and they offered carte blanche freedoms to Mr. Bush and allowed him to do whatever he wanted. And any time he was questioned about it, he always would give the same answer. We were told that all of those laws were to protect America and that we should not worry. But folks, as I look back at those years, it's very easy and plain to see that those years were a time of insanity, complacency, and drowsiness from the evangelical church of America. And Christianity became a demographic study to merchandise, to sell things to. And then the big box churches arrived. The mega churches, and scripture seemed to be forgotten, and there was a great famine for the word of God. And the Rick Warren gospel took the country by storm, and it overtook churches by storm. And then we saw a new evolution of Christianity. And this version of Christianity had a mixture of basic Christianity, but then they threw in the New Age and many mystical elements. And this gospel evolved, because the old gospel was an old wineskin. And then we saw the arrival of clerics sharing a strange gospel, a gospel that our fathers did not know. And this gospel was promoted by the clerics who call themselves the New Apostolic Reformation, the NAR, and those teaching a new gospel of dominionism and kingdom now. And we saw individuals who offered sacrificial rites that in reality resembled voodoo rituals. Rick Joyner gave this to America. And then the icing on the cake, Todd Bentley showed up, a circus freak, a pirate slash biker hybrid, apostate charlatan fraud, an embarrassment to the gospel. And he showed himself to be a demon-possessed hotel with many spirits. And all of those apostles of the NAR Dominionist Kingdom Now movement endorsed him. And we saw people like C. Peter Wagner, Rick Joyner, Stacy Campbell, the sorceress, endorse Todd Bentley. And from the stage of the Lakeland Revival, we saw strange fire vomited out of their mouths into the sleeping, snoozing people below. Pastors from all over the country loaded up their vans and their cars, and thousands of them drove hundreds of miles to go see this demonstration and manifestation of demonic spirits. And they went there to receive an impartation, and many people received just what they wanted, an impartation of spirits masquerading a strange gospel. And right after that happened, folks, how many of you have noticed that that is when the economic crisis began in the United States? That's when everything started falling apart. Do any of you folks notice that? Interesting, isn't it? And what does that tell us? Well, it's a confirmation of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, which says, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this reason God will send to them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And Todd Bentley was part of this great delusion, and many people fell for it. And many people still will defend it. Many people will still defend him. He turned out to be a fraud who was in the middle of an affair during that Lakeland revival. And it turned out that his mistress was right alongside him while he baptized people, holding the microphone for him, saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and booty boom bam bam. And by the way, side note, folks, if any of you are participants in this new apostolic reformation gospel, and I'm hurting your feelings right now, I'm sorry. Any one of us can look back. You can go to YouTube and see the antics of this man, of Todd Bentley, and see that the gospel he was sharing was not the gospel found in your Bible. And you can also see that those quote-unquote self-appointed apostles that showed up to commission him had no problem with the strange gospel he was sharing. And if they had no problem with it, then they are just as guilty. Rick Joyner apparently restored Todd Bentley, and Todd Bentley is going to be heading out once again. And folks, let me also say this. I usually do not mention a lot of names. I just mention a handful of names usually. There are hundreds and hundreds of frauds out there, but I only mention a handful of them. But Todd Bentley is one that I will not be silent on. And all of those other frauds that took part in this are also names that I will not deny exposing. This group must be warned against. Now, why am I bringing this up? This was several years ago. Here's why. Because when Todd Bentley arrived, and when the Lakeland revival started, that was the beginning of the judgment of God. God allowed those demonic, deluded spirits to be released upon the land. And then after that, we soon saw the economic collapse of America. And that strange fire is still upon the land right now. Those demonic spirits have been loosed over this land. And they're still upon the land. The judgment is upon the land, my friends. And you must know this. Whether it hurts your feelings to hear this, you must know this. I get emails from many of you who ask me a question. And many of you will ask and tell me, should I continue going to the church I'm attending right now? And then you will describe some of the things that are taking place in your church, things that are disturbing to you. So you have a good heart and you really want to know, should you continue attending there? So you ask me. If some of you are wondering about that very question, let me answer it for you. And here's one question that should always be asked anytime you're shopping for a church. This is the first question you should ask the pastor, because it will make your job a lot easier so that you don't have to waste your time attending there for 5, 6, 10 Sundays and then find out they believe in the wrong things. So here's the question you can ask them. Ask the pastor this. Pastor, what do you think of Todd Bentley? What did you think of the Lakeland Revival? And if the answer is anything other than it was a lie, it was a fraud, it was a false gospel, it was demon-filled, it was strange fire, if they do not answer anything that says that it was wrong, then I would leave that place, folks, because you're going to be wasting your time there. If they say, well, I don't really want to talk about it, it's not my job to criticize Todd Bentley. If they give you that cop-out, castrated answer, I would run, folks. Don't argue with them. There's no sense in arguing with them. But here's why you need to know this. Because if they went to that revival, or someone from their church went to that revival, and the impartation occurred to them, where Todd Bentley laid hands on them and put demons on them, and then they came back home and spread their impartation to everyone else like a plague, how do you know that pastor doesn't have that poison on him? You don't, my friends. So that's a good question to ask. Nathan, why are you bringing this up? Again, that was 2 years ago. Here's why, folks. Because we are entering phase 2, phase 3, phase 4, phase 5 of the judgment train that's coming. Todd Bentley was the coronation, the very beginning of it. Way back then, it was a manifestation of darkness and demons. And the way that you weather this coming storm will be dependent on how you are with God, how close you are with God. And right now, you can't afford to be fighting a bunch of spiritual warfare when you already are fighting economic warfare for your family. This judgment is going to play out in an economic crisis like we have never seen before. And many of you are going to be facing economic warfare and survival. And you do not need to be throwing on top of that spiritual warfare,
because you went to a church that imparted strange fire from the Lakeland Revival.
Nathan, I did go to the Lakeland Revival, and back then I didn't have my eyes open, but God has opened my eyes since then. Am I contaminated? Well, let me say this to you, my friend. If I were you, I would spend a lot of time in prayer. I would spend some time repenting. I would spend some time fasting. And I would spend some time renouncing participation in that. Nathan, you really think so? Yes, I do. When I was preparing for this program, I spent a good amount of time seeking God, praying to Him, because I wanted to have the right message for all of you that are listening. Folks, I appreciate the privilege that you would give me 1 hour of your time to listen to what I have to say. I appreciate that, my friends. So I don't want to waste your time with things that don't matter. I want to share things that are true. I want to share things that have substance. I want to share things that are going to make a difference in your life. And I really believe that this is one of them. So the reason that this was brought up is because we were taking a trip down memory lane, and we were looking at the past 10 years, or even the past 20 years, when Clinton was president, the past several decades. And we could look further and further back and continue to see that the left-right paradigm has failed to offer a solution. It has failed, folks. While the Republicans have claimed to be conservative, right-wing, and they stand for family values, I find it interesting, I find it disturbing, that representatives and politicians that claim to have family values, quote-unquote, seem to many times be exposed as homosexuals that like to touch their young boy interns. What is that all about, folks? I mean, come on. I'm not dismissing the Democrats because they wear their godlessness on their sleeve. They're not trying to hide it. They'll tell you flat out they're homosexual. They don't believe in God. They'll tell you. But the Republicans who are claiming to be right-wing, conservative, and then they're exposed to be whoremongers and philanderers. They have mistresses. They regularly visit the harlot brothels of Washington, D.C., or they're having homosexual affairs. Folks, we are beyond trying to patty cake this thing. The problem with this nation lies in the hypocritical priests and pastors that we have here over this country. And the problem also lies with the barbaric actions of the citizens who butcher their babies and live godless and have forgot their heritage. And also the problem lies with the politicians, the judges who are godless and hypocrites. So many of the people in America are frauds and faking and masquerading as something that they're not. But you know what, folks? God looks down from heaven and He sees this mess. And for the people that want to forget that it is a mess and continue the charade, my job as a voice of God and a messenger of God is to reveal the truth. And that is this. When we look backwards, we can see as we examine election after election. Go back 2 years and look at that election, and 4 years, and then 4 years before that. And see the candidates, whether they were Democratic or Republican. When the Republicans got voted in, did it change anything?
Nathan, I'm a Tea Partier, and I have hope that the Republicans are going to do something better this time around.
Well, you know what, my friends? I'll hope with you. I'll take it. I would love to see it happen. After all, elections do give the population a choice to change the troublemaker and to pick someone that will have a remedy. Unfortunately, folks, I'm 48 years old. I have seen several elections now, 30 years. And when I look back, I see that most of the time an election acts like a placebo that for a moment gives everybody hope that there is a fix, but it never addresses the root problem. And that is this, my friends. There is a spiritual problem over the land. And spiritual problems cannot be fixed with a political solution. They can't, my friends. Again, I want to say for the record, those of you that are participating in this thing and you have high hopes, God bless you, but the writing has already been inscribed into the wall, and the nation of America has been found wanting. Is it possible that some independent could come into office and change things? I guess anything is possible, my friends. I guess if enough people got together and humbled themselves and repented, we could see some change. And if the politician led people in that direction, we could probably see some change. But folks, honestly, I don't see that happening. I really don't. And because I don't see it happening, I'm treating the present crisis as something instead to deal with. Well, it looks like the break is here. And after the break, I'm going to continue talking about the economic condition of this country. So we'll see you in a few minutes, folks.
right now. We're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. Give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah, it's really that good.
Yeah, she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system, and it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact, and that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Watchman's Cry Ministries would like to take a moment and say thank you to our sponsor, Steve St. Clair of Inner Health Botanicals. In these days of chemtrails, modified food, and chemical additives, it is more important than ever to do what you can to protect and improve on your health. So head on over to survivetothrive.net and check out their products. That's Survive to Thrive, S-U-R-V-I-V-E, the number 2, T-H-R-I-V-E.net.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, Election Day, November the 2nd, 2010, the year of our Lord. And before the break, we were talking about Election Day. We were discussing whether there is a political solution here in America on Election Day. You know, folks, if it was 1980 right now, and if judgment was not taking place in the country right now, then maybe it would be possible to have a political solution for some of the ills of America at that time. We have gone past the bridge of the Rubicon River, and every one of us are going to witness this thing. There's no escape, folks. And please know this, since we are beyond the threshold of judgment now, since we're there, nothing that man does is going to stop this thing, because the creator of the entire universe is making sure that it will not be stopped. Now, after today, November 2nd, when we go into Wednesday, we are going to hear some very important announcements made by Ben Bernanke of the Federal Reserve. What announcement is that? Well, the Federal Reserve and the Treasury have hinted that after the election, they're going to announce whether they're going to issue another stimulus for America. And this stimulus that they're planning to do is called quantitative easing, or QE2. What it is another round of hundreds of billions of dollars to try to get the economy up and running again. According to what we've been told, the Fed is going to release the decision at a little over 2 o'clock on Wednesday, tomorrow. They'll let us know. And after that announcement is made, they will also tell us how much money they are going to spend. Now, that statement, spend, needs to be qualified, because actually what they're going to do is create money out of thin air and throw it into the economy to try to prop it up. There are estimates that the amount ranges from $300 billion all the way to $2 trillion, folks. Now, this is a gargantuan amount of money. And based on how much they announce that they're going to do, the stock market is going to respond, the S&P is going to respond, the gold market is going to respond. If he announces that it's a low amount, like 300 to 500 billion, then possibly we might see a calming effect on the fall of the dollar. And as a result, we might see gold actually stop going up and it might even decrease just a little bit. But that's only going to be temporary. It's not going to be for very long. So gold may actually come down if the amount is low. And silver may come down if the amount is low. But already the world has been anticipating this announcement. For those of you that are paying attention, silver reached $25 an ounce on Sunday, just a few days ago. Now that's incredible, folks. And that's before the announcement was made. So if the announcement comes out that it's $1 trillion or even higher, folks, I expect gold to really respond in a wild manner. We may see it spike and go up. Maybe it'll recover a little bit, but this is not going to be a good thing for this country, because to come up with $300 to $500 billion or $1 trillion or $2 trillion, the Federal Reserve is going to have to print it. We do not have the money right now. The United States government is broke. They can't afford to be doing this. It's going to weaken the dollar. It's going to cause inflation. It's going to cause commodities to go up in value. Now, they have already been going up. Many of the grain commodities have gone up almost 50%, some of them even more, in the last several months. 50%, folks. And what that means is rice, wheat, corn are going up. Cereal is going to go up. Bread products are going to go up. Now, usually the price of commodities are not reflected on store shelves immediately. Usually there's a lag time of several months. But the way commodities have already gone up, we are going to start seeing the increases in the early part of next year. Now, folks, again, when a judgment happens in the land and there's a voice crying out in the wilderness trying to warn the people, the judgment plays out in reality with events that are happening to the people. And many times as the people are watching these events happen, they will fight and argue and kick and scream and say that it is not the judgment of God. So as we see this crazy, insane madness from the Federal Reserve play out in the next few days, some people may say, that's not the judgment of God, Nathan. That's just some guy with a beard printing more money. Yes, that's true. In the natural, that's what it looks like. But God uses individuals, humans, to play roles in his judgment. So for the Federal Reserve to print this money that does not exist, it's going to hurt everybody's pocketbook. It's going to hurt the value of the dollar. We're going to see a continual slide in the value of the dollar. And the rest of the world does not like this. The rest of the world is very uncomfortable with these decisions by the Federal Reserve. Very uncomfortable. And what it's going to cause other nations to do is it's going to cause other nations to also start printing extra money and manipulate their currency. As other nations are witnessing what we're doing, they can see that the United States is making a move of desperation. They can see that we're just trying pretty much anything by now to stop the bleeding of America. And they can also see that printing this money is not going to be a long-term solution. It might offer a short-term band-aid. It might give Obama some breathing room because they're going to throw money into the economy. But it's not enough to change the direction of America right now. It's a very dangerous game that's not going to succeed, my friends. There are going to be repercussions of this thing across the entire world. Now, as crazy as this sounds, I can see the stock market responding positively to this thing. When it's announced how much money they're going to inject, I can see some insane people thinking that this is a great idea and the stock market will react favorably. And after that does happen, I can also see the news reports talking about how the stock market is recovering and liked the decision of the Fed, which will continue the charade and the facade of lies. Most of the sleeping public will hear that report and say, oh, good, Obama's going to give us some money again. I can't wait. I can't wait to dip my hands into that honey pot. So it's insane madness, my friends. But here's what it's going to do. There are going to be some very dire repercussions of this thing. It's going to continue the fiscal train wreck of America. It is not going to stop the economy from collapsing. It is actually going to ensure, it's going to guarantee, it's going to seal the fate of America. It's going to seal the fate of our currency and our dollar. And this is the other crazy part of the equation. When the Fed prints all of this money, the world's not going to buy it. They want nothing to do with it. So who's going to end up with all that money? Who's going to buy those treasuries? The U.S. government. And when that money comes out, I'm curious to see where it's going to go. I can see it going to more banks to try to save banks from this mortgage meltdown crisis. But I do not see how it's going to end up with the man on the street. Now, there is something else that this is going to end up causing, my friends. Obama is putting a Band-Aid on his presidency right now. He's halfway through. He has 2 years left. And he's tired of the headaches of constantly hearing the complaints from the constituents that the economy is bad. So what he wants to see happen is this injection of money into the economy to silence his accusers. And then he can ride out the rest of his presidency and play golf and travel around the world and bow down to all the Muslim clerics around the world and also go to Mecca and pray and do his pilgrimage and being able to do it without the headaches of unhappy Americans. So this injection of money may put a Band-Aid for maybe a year, possibly, maybe a year and a half. And while it is happening that it may give a temporary boost to the economy where they can play with the numbers, it will not stop the slide of the dollar. The dollar will continue to go down because the Holy Spirit said that that's what was going to happen. And the rest of the world is going to have the decision made for them. They will gladly already be working on a new currency. And that's what they're going to be doing, working on a new currency because the United States is insane with its policies. And as the dollar continues to slide, and when that money runs out, this is also what's going to happen. We are going to see municipalities, city governments, state governments, county governments lose money and not have the funds to function. They won't be able to function, so as a result, they are going to have to do something that Europe is already having to deal with. And there's a new word that has not occurred yet on the headlines of American newspapers. This word has not been talked about much on the cable news channels by the talking heads. But this is what it is, folks. It's called austerity measures. And what that means is that governments have to cut corners, cut costs, and they have to reduce the entitlements, the handouts, the programs for the public. Europe is having to deal with these things right now. Greece had to do them. When Greece recently ran into its sovereign debt problem, the other members of the European Union that were going to rescue them told Greece that in order for us to rescue you, you have to stop a lot of your public funding and your programs, your retirement funds. And they also made Greece raise the age of retirement for their elderly. When this happened, riots broke out in Greece. Many people went on the streets and they were angry. It got ugly. They were burning cars and throwing rocks at government buildings. They were on a rampage. They were angry. These austerity measures have been spreading to other nations in Europe. And that's why we have been hearing lately that there are riots going on in Europe. France has been having riots. The people are angry over there. And many of the member nations of the European Union have unemployment that is as high as the United States. Some of them even have higher numbers. Spain has an official unemployment rate of over 20%. So the austerity measures of cutting public funding for projects, for entitlements for their people, is not playing out very well in Europe. Now, we're not hearing about it very much. We just get little Cliff Note episode versions of this thing. But here's what's going to happen, folks. Because the United States dollar is losing its value, and because the U.S. government is insolvent and bankrupt, we are going to see these austerity measures spread to the United States. We are going to see the United States do forced austerity here in the United States. It's going to cause a state of crisis here in America when this thing finally arrives. And a lot of people that have taken things for granted their entire lives here in America are going to find themselves with cuts in Social Security, medical care, unemployment, welfare, food stamps, education, city workers, city governments, law enforcement. It's going to happen, folks, because we see it happening in Europe right now. They're just a little bit ahead of us. Europe is ahead of us. I don't know if it's a few weeks or a few months, but we are going to see that happen here. And when that happens, folks, it's going to send shockwaves throughout the United States. It's going to send shockwaves across cities. The inner city is going to have meltdowns when this happens because many of them people will not be getting their unemployment checks. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, folks, but this is why I'm talking about this right now so that you can know in advance that it's coming. That's why I have been warning to get extra food. That's why I have been warning to get closer to God so that God will take care of you. And that's why I have also been challenging to put yourself in the place where God will see you favorably so that you can weather this thing. And you know, folks, most of the people here in America cannot fathom the thought. They cannot imagine the thought that their regular monthly check would go down. Most people can't imagine it happening. This is the United States. That would never, ever happen. Well, let me say this. Another way that it could play out is perhaps you would continue getting your check, but that same amount that you have always received is now worth 50% less because inflation has gotten so bad. That's another way that this thing could play out. Folks, the future does not look good one iota here in this country or for the rest of the world. I've spent the last few radio programs talking about the trigger points that we're facing, the tipping points, and how unsteady things are right now. My friends, these things are going to happen.
Nathan, you're scaring me. Do you really think it's going to happen soon or fast or how long? How long do we have? 1 month? 6 months? A year?
Folks, that's the part that I do not know. I don't know how long that we have. I just know that I'm supposed to be warning you. That's all. But I don't think it's a long time. I do not see it taking 10 years for this to happen or even 5 years. I really believe that this thing is going to be playing out violently in the next 1 or 2 years. Now, I recently had another prophetic dream. Here's what it has to do with. It has to do with the nation of the United States of America is going to, with deception, steal the pension funds, the retirement funds of retirees here in America. I had a dream that America stole the retirement funds and the savings of all Americans. Now, let me explain how this dream happened. In this dream, I was standing outside, and here in Idaho where I live, I have chickens that lay eggs, and so we have a chicken yard with a fence that surrounds the chicken yard. Well, in this dream, I saw a bird come out of the sky and land in our chicken yard. And when it landed, I was pretty far away, so I wasn't sure what kind of bird it was. I thought it was a turkey at first, but as I walked to the chicken yard to see what kind it was, I saw that it was a bald eagle. So a bald eagle landed in our chicken yard, and it was a weak bald eagle. He was limping. He looked emaciated and skinny, and he was limping toward the nesting boxes where our chickens lay eggs. And it walked over to the nesting box, and it couldn't fit inside. There was a little opening where chickens could crawl in, but this eagle could not crawl in. So the eagle fell on its stomach, but while it was falling on its stomach, it changed color. It turned into an orange-looking eagle, orangey-brown. So it might have been a golden eagle. So it was on its stomach, and it put its wing inside of the nesting box, and it tried to grab the eggs, but it wasn't able to grab the eggs, so it started breaking them with its wing, and the yolk got on the eagle's wings, and the eagle brought the yolk out and was eating the yolk off of its wing, and then it would put his wing back in and soak up more egg yolk and then bring his wing out to eat more, and it kept doing that till it ate all of the eggs. So I watched this eagle do this, laying on its stomach, and then when it was finished doing this, it stood up with his back facing me, but now he looked very healthy, and it still had that orange-brown color, like a golden eagle. And then the eagle turned around, and when it turned around, his head had changed into the head of a fox, and his face was smiling. And it was a red fox with a grin on his face. And then the dream was over. Well, I have been seeking and seeking God about this dream. I've been asking some people. I've been getting some different accounts of what this dream means. And at this point, I believe that this dream is saying that the United States government is the eagle and it's weak, but it's going to turn into another kind of eagle. So its policies are going to change. America is going to change in its appearance into a hybrid of a new sort of government that is going to steal and nationalize all of the pension funds of America. Now, I talked about this in a previous show, but then I had this dream. This dream's only about a week and a half old. So, folks, with the direction that the United States is going and with the choices that the United States is making right now, every choice they are making is the wrong choice. It is the worst choice that could be made right now for America and for our health, for a long-term fix, for a long-term solution. We're basically making the same wrong choices that we saw America make during the first depression. And you know, folks, the thing that got us into this mess was debt, spending with no regard for the future. The first bailout did that. It spent and the dollar lost value. And now they're about to do it again and the dollar's going to lose value. And eventually we're going to see the United States crumble into a shadow of what it once was. Now, there's another interesting story that kind of makes you wonder if the people that are behind the scenes, the heads of banks and the heads of hedge funds, have already gotten together and they know what's about to happen to this economy. And they know that a huge second leg crash is about to happen, because it has been reported that there is a huge, huge volume of insider trading happening right now. Top executives from many corporations in America have been selling their shares of their companies over the last 6 months. And the volume that they have, 120 million shares of stock has sold over the last 6 months by executives who own their stock options. And what that tells us, folks, is that it's possible that some of the executives of these companies have already been given the heads up and they have been told to find their flight and their way out of the present stock market because it's about to come crashing down. When you start looking at all of these trigger points and then you see how people are responding and you start hearing about how executives and billionaires are actually talking amongst themselves and also saying in their newsletters that the United States is done and that they want to leave the country. Folks, this is not good. This can only tell us one thing. Something is up. Something is about to happen and that the economy is about to come crashing down in a very, very violent way. Now, of course, that's not going to be a surprise to many of us because we've been expecting these things for years now. Most of you that are listening are very smart and you know these things that I'm talking about. They're not surprising to you. So you're expecting it to happen. But those of you that are new to this message, to the warning message, may not know about this. So you might be asking yourself, well, how is this thing going to play out? Well, it's going to play out over years. It's going to play out in a mighty bulldozing of the American economy. America is going to lose its empire status. It will no longer be the empire of the world. It will still exist, but it's going to lose a lot of its power, and someone else is going to take its place. Eventually, after the markets become so soiled in poverty, a few years is going to go by. We're going to see inflation like we've never seen before. We're going to see food become very expensive. We're going to see regular things that we took for granted become very expensive. And after this thing plays out for a while, then we're going to transcend into the sword judgment where we will see riots and people that are unhappy. We're going to see mobs. We're going to see tyranny. And eventually we're going to see the United States get invaded and also enter a war. World War III is going to come out of this mess, my friends. And it's real interesting that just recently, a writer for the Washington Post actually made an article and said that the best way for Barack Obama to rescue the United States is to take the United States to war, for us to enter a war with Iran. We need to bomb Iran and get this thing going so that the economy can turn around. He said that it would spur the economy. And if Obama wants to win a second term, he needs to start this war before his election in 2012. That writer went on to say that if you look at FDR during the Great Depression, the way that the United States came out of the Depression back then that lasted 10 years was World War II. So he's using our previous Depression as an argument to get us out of this one. And isn't that amazing, folks? If this writer is thinking about it and actually willing to print it and talk about it, then I submit to you that possibly our politicians and our congressmen and our senators and members of committees are also discussing how to spur the economy and that war is the only way to do it. So, in other words, if we're willing to sacrifice our sons and our daughters so that the economy can turn around, then what we're saying is the price for you to be able to go to Walmart and buy plastic toys for a good price is the price of the blood of our children. This is insane madness, my friends. Unfortunately, it's going to happen. It is going to play out. And we are going to see war eventually happen out of this. I don't know which country will be involved, but I do see war coming because God has also revealed that as well. So again, folks, we are living in crazy times, but as the old saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet because it's going to get crazier. And as things become more and more crazy, it's amazing how more comfortable people are getting as the craziness happens. 5 years ago, if any one of us were to hear that the Gulf of Mexico would have one cargo ship of oil dumped into it, people would have been upset and bothered. But today, we have seen the Gulf spill poison the entire Gulf of Mexico. A large portion of it is now a dead zone. It has not been cleaned up. In fact, we are hearing that oil is continuing to appear in tributaries, and in rivers along the shorelines of Louisiana through Mississippi, Alabama, parts of Florida, and no one seems to care. That American story ran its course, and it became boring to most people. But unfortunately and sadly, the people that live down there are still living this nightmare. Many of them are now sick. The stories have come out that people are actually dying down there now, folks. They are being chemically poisoned. Toxicologists are reporting that people are dropping dead. And doctors and nurses are now reporting that they are seeing strange illnesses where people are actually bleeding out of their orifices. And while all this is happening, my friends, the federal government allowed BP to just leave the oil on the beaches and to walk away, to pack up and to leave. It's one of the biggest ecological disasters and crimes in the history of the world. And the United States government is looking the other way. Many of the people down there are living with this nightmare, but the mainstream news has no longer found it commercially viable as a news story. It grew old, so nobody cares. So while people are dying and hemorrhaging, nobody cares. And as this judgment continues over this land, folks, we are already witnessing pockets of nightmarish stories of how city neighborhoods have been gutted. Neighborhoods that are not even 3 to 5 years old have become cesspools with squatters living in them, broken windows, overgrown lawns, graffiti. This is happening across the country, and people do not seem to care. They've grown used to it, and it doesn't seem to bother them. And I wonder, my friends, when the riots start and when the angry mobs start burning down their cities, when they start burning down government buildings and buses and police cars, and they start shooting government employees, and when people start dying on the streets, falling dead, I wonder how long it will take for the average American citizen to become callous to even that story. How long will it take? I don't know, folks. There is a great delusion over this land right now. Many people seem to be blind. Many people seem to not care. And that is why I appreciate that you are listening to this program right now, because I believe that you care. Well, I'm almost out of time now. But again, folks, I want to invite you to go to my website at watchmanscry.com. My new sermon is message number 158. Please listen to that message, my friends. If you're a Christian and if you are trying to be close to God and be strong with God and have spiritual endurance and fitness, if you expect to have endurance, then this is a how-to of a very important area that every Christian needs to know about and to be aware of. So go there and listen to it. Also, I want to say this. If you appreciate these messages, we are 100% listener supported by listeners like you. Watchman's Cry does not receive any funds for this program from our sponsor. The sponsor just pays for the signal, but we're supported by people like you, folks. So please pray about it. And if God so leads, our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. If you have any prayer requests, please contact us. And if you have any, please send them. Well, we're out of time, my friends. We appreciate you for listening. God bless you. Continue seeking God. Stay strong. And we'll see you next time.